Thank you, Brother Adam. Good to be here tonight, amen? It's sure better than being in the hospital. I'm sure of that, amen? Turn in your Bibles tonight. We need them to tend to Africa. No, I'm just kidding. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. While you're turning there, I want to read you a little poem. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no one can restore. People are dying every day. Constantly, somebody's going to die and go to heaven or hell. That's the options, amen? What is that fly doing in there? I'll drink it. He was doing the backstroke. He's okay. But it's good to be here tonight. Thank you for all that you've done for us over the years. You've been faithful in support of our ministries. All of them, amen. You have been good to us. We enjoyed lunch today. How many of you have never been to the charcoal grill? Never been there? You need to go. It's especially on Sunday. Oh. But you better go hungry. Wow, what a place, amen. I didn't get this body by accident. It cost a lot of money. But it's all paid for, amen. But anyway, God's been good to us all, hasn't he? I'm just curious tonight. I feel like I'd like to hear some testimonies. Anybody have a testimony for the Lord tonight? Anything at all? God done something for you this week? Anybody? Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. Jump up if you have something to say. If you don't, stand up anyway. Say something. Anybody. Now all of a sudden, go ahead. You can say something. You don't have to stand.
We got all this medical treatment, they took care of her and that issue, and my job has been there throughout the COVID, because I'm a service tech, I take care of so many different sectors that my job hasn't really been impacted, because the sector is down, that sector is not.
Right.
So it's been really something.
Amen. They fixed her brain, though, right?
They did.
Good. Amen. I thought she had a good brain, too, but I don't know. But anyway, praise the Lord. Anybody else have a testimony? Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He'll watch over her. Amen. Our great grandson spent 8 months in Children's since when he was born. He was transferred from Green Bay, Aurora, down to Children's. And 8 months he lived there. And we lived there back and forth, And his mom and dad took turns living there. And it was a rough year for my granddaughter and her family, but I'll tell you what, he's doing good now. He's really, as he's growing, he's just started out at 2.5 pounds. That's pretty young, pretty small. His brother was 3.5 pounds. His brother's always been a little bit ahead of him, but he didn't have anything holding him back. Where David, his esophagus wasn't connected. He had a hole in his heart, and he had a hernia, and he had some other little problems. Anyway, they did about 8 surgeries on that little boy, and three or four times he coded. They brought him back to life. He's a fighter. God's got something really in store for him, I think, someday. And it's so neat what they can do. They are really marvelous people there. Anybody else have a testimony? Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, dear. Must be if they're talking to the Messiah, right? I talk to him every day, though. You know. Is he talking back? Yes, he does, right here. He talks back, right here. Amen. Any other testimony? Anyone? Well, I'm just thrilled to be here. And tell you right now, it's exciting. We're living in exciting days when you realize the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You know, it could happen any moment. I wake up thinking of songs like it could happen in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And I think I go through the day singing these songs that are coming to my mind. And I'm looking forward to the upper taker, not the undertaker. Really am. And it's exciting. In your Bibles here in Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read through 10, 1 through 10. And you follow along with me. But I would like you to read verse 4. With me also, and when I get there, you read verse 4 out loud with me. It said, "And he hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Boy, there's a lot of them now. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." But together now. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Father, we love you tonight. Thank you, God, for this church and what it does mean in this community and around the world through the missionary outreach. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless and Father, that you'd meet their needs, that you'd raise up more laborers, that you'd give them the pasture that you want them to have. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you would do a work that we could rejoice and thank you for what you've done and what you've been doing. And Lord, we look forward to what you're about to do now. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to be here tonight. Pray that you'd bless us, help us to hear from you, and that your word would be strengthening in our lives, that we could go from this place enriched and be willing to enrich others, and God, impart your word to others around us, knowing that they're lost, many people without Christ. Lord, help us to be faithful in our living, and Lord, that we might see souls saved and lives changed. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm excited about the Word of God. This passage of Scripture is a very interesting passage. You know, it talks about our enemies. We have three enemies, by the way. You thought we had more than that. Sometimes it's mainly the three: the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's our enemies. Amen. In Revelation, it says that they overcame him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, it's an important thing. Our testimony is a powerful tool. And the devil knows how powerful the testimony is. That's kind of why I asked for some testimonies today. Being ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of the hope that's within you. That's important. I remember when I was a young Christian in Bay City Baptist in Green Bay, we had an older fella come. He was 93 or 4 years old at the time. He used to pastor during the days of the Indian raids in Kansas, and he was a Baptist preacher, brethren preacher, I should say, and then he, when he retired finally, he started going to the Baptist church because they preached the Word of God, he said, and the brethren went the wrong way with the United Brethren and all that. Anyway, he had a lot to say about that, but he always, every time we, Sunday evening, we'd have testimony time, and we would have and he would be the first one to stand. And the first thing he would say is, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We have more to say than anybody. I mean, the world doesn't have anything to say that, you know, that really counts. But what we have counts, amen? And as redeemed believers, we have the privilege to represent our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to a lost and dying world. The world is our enemy in verse 2. It says that, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience." One day, we walked that way. We were lost without hope, just like a lot of people are today. And we were walking in the worldly ways. We filled ourselves with worldly things. And we lusted after things in our lives that didn't really matter spiritually. But then one day God sent somebody to witness to us and shared a testimony to us. And by grace we were saved through faith. Amen. And when we got saved, God changed our life and cleaned it up. Didn't take us, we're still sinners. Amen. I mean, this flesh is not saved. Did you know that? I thought you'd think about that. But anyway, the body that you see is not saved. The spiritual man is saved. But the physical man, we have to keep it in subjection to the spiritual man. The world is the enemy. The world is directed by Satan. He is the enemy literally there. And we see him working real active right now. He's busy. He knows his time is short. He knows that the Lord's coming soon. He knows the Bible better than you and I will ever know the Bible. Amen. He's been around a long time. But he's also watched mankind. And he knows our lifestyle, and he knows how to trip us up, and he's an expert in causing us to sin and causing us to fall. Satan wants you and I to live like the world. That's what it says in verse 2. We are not to love this world. 1 John 2 tells us that. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're to love the things of God, but not the things of this world. Everything in this world is passing away. It's all wood, hay, and stubble, according to the Bible. You know, when I die, this suit, everything I own, is going to belong to somebody else. You can't take it with you. I remember a missionary or evangelist I knew one time when I was a young Christian came to our church. His name was Red Harper. He was with Roy Rogers and the Sons of the Pioneers, and then he got saved, and he went out, and God called him to preach, and he sang a song, "You can't take it with you when you go, no matter who you are, who you know. You will take away the same as you brought the day you came. You can't take it with you when you go." A lot of truth in that. Amen. Everything I have is going to be left behind. Christ delivered us from the world, and he has given us the victory in our lives. Amen. Look at Galatians chapter 1, please. Galatians 1 and verse 4. Just a few pages back. can't turn the pages, Jim. Hello. Grace, let's say verse 3, he says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." He has delivered us from this present world, literally. We are seated, as it were, in heavenly places. We're still alive here, but in his mind and eyes, we are in heavenly places. And when we die, we'll go to be with him. That's the joy of the believer. We have the privilege of knowing for sure that when we die, we're going to the Savior. I've had people, you know, one of the first verses I studied, memorized when I first got saved was 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. It says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Do you know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? His will is that all mankind be saved. Amen? He's given us a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to be a witness in this world and a good testimony of him, that the people can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we have the privilege, literally, of representing our Savior as ambassadors for Christ. Amen? I count that a real privilege and honor. We serve a risen Savior. We sing the song, he's in the world today. I know that he's living, no matter what man says. I've talked to him. I walk with him. He walks with me and talks to me. People are going to lock me up someday probably, but that's okay. I'll start a jail ministry. I'm not worried about it. Amen? That's the blessed hope of the believer. We have Christ Jesus on our side. And we have victory over the world in him. We can defeat the world in our lives by faith in Jesus Christ. If we walk in the flesh, we serve the flesh. But if we walk in the Spirit, we'll serve the Spirit. And so the key is that we as believers need to walk in the Spirit every day. Secondly, the flesh is our enemy. The world is an enemy, but so is our flesh. My feet take me where places where I don't really shouldn't be. Sometimes I read something about if I step on your toes, it's probably because your toes are in the wrong place. You know, the truth is our flesh is our enemy. Verse 3 of Ephesians. I want you to look at that verse. I'm going to flip back here now. Would you believe I closed the book? I hate that when I do that to myself. Amen. Do you talk to yourself too? Yes, always. Do I get an answer? No, not always. Anyway, verse 3 said, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath even as others." We have this body of flesh that loves itself. Did you know that? You love yourself. You don't think so? Try to poke yourself in the eye. Your hand won't let you. Not really. It's awfully hard. It hurts, doesn't it? And, you know, to hurt yourself, if you want to take a knife and poke yourself in the hand, I have a hard time taking a pin and taking out a sliver because it hurts. It hurts. The sliver hurts, but it hurts me to hurt me. I love me, and you love you, by the way. We love our flesh because this is our body. This is us. But we need to realize that human nature, without God's influence in our lives, will destroy us. Our own flesh doesn't like being saved. Our own flesh doesn't like being denied anything. Our flesh wants to do everything that it sees. Unfortunately, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these things are in the world. And our eyes take us, and we see things and hear things and shouldn't. And in our world today, television, it's just a split second something shows up we shouldn't even be watching. But there it was, amen. We're watching something really good and all of a sudden, boom, this thing. That's hard to get out of your mind. Your flesh loves to be attacked like that. Your flesh loves itself, but it loves to take you down. It is our enemy. We need to have victory over the flesh. We were born in a sinful nature. The Bible says, in sin did my mother conceive me. I told that to my mother once and she got mad at me. I said, Mom, you misunderstand. I'm not talking that you sinned when you had me, or, you know. But the truth is, we were born in sin, amen? We have the sin of Adam's race. We call it original sin. We're all born sinners. And that's why Christ had to die for us, so that He could deliver us from this body of sin. The body of flesh around us will take us down. If you yield to the flesh, you'll do the things of the flesh. We cannot do the things that God wants us to do if we yield to the flesh. We're to have victory over the flesh. We are at war, as it were. Paul said that in Romans 7. That's a very interesting passage. Turn there, would you please? Romans 7, verse 23. He said, but I see a law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Our body loves to sin. Loves to get us into trouble. I saw something one time before my mind starts working, my tongue says something I shouldn't have said. Something like that anyway. My dad put it this way, put your mind in gear before you put your mouth in motion. Works sometimes. We are to realize this battle that's going on, but we have victory in Christ, amen. God can help us if we ask Him. He said, ask of me and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Verse 25 of Romans 7, He said, we have this victory. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind of, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We have victory over sin if we'll put it to, if we'll let Christ rule in our heart. Victory comes as we mortify, that is, to put to death the flesh. That's what Romans 6, verse 12 tells us. He says here in Romans 6, 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that we should obey it and its lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I remember one time when I was going to Bay City Baptist and working in the factory, after I get off at 11:30 at night, I had a burden to see my mother get saved and to see her shut down the tavern she ran. And every night after work, I'd go down on Broadway and pass out tracts and walk up and down till the taverns closed. I got off work at 11:30 and I'd be out there till 2 in the morning passing out tracts and witnessing to people. I had the privilege in 3 weeks of leading 11 people to the Lord on the street. But I'll never forget this one Indian fella. He came out of the tavern and he was pretty drunk and it was cold. It was in November and it had snowed and he went to get in his car and it wouldn't start. And I walked over to him and I said, Mike, I introduced myself and he told me his name was Mike. And I said, Mike, can I help you? And he said, yeah, I need a jump. And I said, well, you know, I can do that for you, but I don't have my car right here. But let me ask you a couple questions. And I asked him if he died, if he'd go to heaven. And he said, no, I'm an Indian. I don't believe like you believe. He said, it's cold out here. Let's go in the bar and I'll buy you a drink. And I said, no, I can't go in there with you. Well, why not? I said, the Bible says, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That's the only verse I could think of. And we didn't go in the tavern, but I said, I'll take you down to the corner and buy you a cup of coffee in the restaurant. And we went down there and bought him coffee till he sobered up and we witnessed to him. His friend was with me, a friend of mine, and he and I witnessed to him, but he wouldn't get saved. He said, I don't feel good. He said, if you can get my car started, I want to go home. And you come over and see me in the morning. You know, and I said, about what time? He said, you come over about 8 o'clock. This is now 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And so we went and got his car started, and I shouldn't have let him drive home. But he went home, and I asked him where he lived, and he gave us an address. But I didn't know where it was, and my friend didn't know where it was, but we were excited that we had a chance to witness to him. And so I took my friend home, and I got home about 4:30, and I woke Monica up and told her about it that night, and we had some other people saved, and I said, we've got to be up early. I got to get over to this guy's house by 8 o'clock. And she woke me up, and I was able to pick up my friend, and we went over. And on the way there, I said to my friend, do you know where this guy lives? He said, on Elmore Street, 125 Elmore. And I'll never forget it. And I said, I know the address, but I don't know where Elmore Street is. Do you? And he said, no. And we're just driving, and all of a sudden, I looked up, and here was Elmore Street. So we got turned on it, went all the way down to Maine almost, and we got to the house 1 minute before 8, knocking on the door at 8 o'clock. His two little boys were on the front porch, and they were all upset. They said, please don't wake my dad up. Boy, was he mad when he came home. There's somebody kept him out and talked to him and kept him from coming home, and he was really mad at that guy. I said, I'm the guy, so tell him I'm here. He wanted to see me this morning. Oh, boy, this kid was scared. He walks in the house, goes up halfway up the steps. Dad, there's somebody here to see you. And the guy yelled at him, bellowed back. And I don't know why I did it, but I yelled back at him. I said, Mike, you get down here. You're the one who told me to be here. Get up and get down here. Now, I'm here. Oh, he says, oh, no. And he comes down the stairs, and we witnessed him for 3 hours. Finally, he didn't get saved, but we got to take his kids to Sunday school. They got saved. His wife got saved. As far as I know, he never got saved, but his family all got saved. I really pray for him. Being an Indian, he rejected everything in Christianity. And he was following evil spirits, really, he was. He said so. But, you know, it was an interesting time. But, you know, God gives us victory if we will put ourselves, our bodies, as it were, to death, realizing we are already dead in Christ and we're alive unto Christ. And so we have the privilege of representing the Lord Jesus. So we need victory over the world and the flesh. And also the last thing is our enemy is the devil. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, it said, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Boy, is he active in our world today. He is a busy, busy rascal. We have victory over him, though. We are in constant battle with our greatest enemy, Satan. Satan will destroy us if we let him. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to put on the whole armor of God. In verse 18, or no, verse 13. Wherefore I take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have victory. It said in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have victory over him if we claim it. But when we give in to our flesh, then he has power over us. When we fall into sin, we open up the opportunity for him to work in our lives and try to destroy us. He is our adversary. He's the tempter. He's the deceiver. He is the hinderer. He's a roaring lion, the Bible says, stalking and walking about, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy you and I. We can't allow that. Every day we need to claim the power of the Word of God and walk in the power of the Word of God over him. We have victory if we allow God to work through us. When we're doing the things that God wants us to do, he has no power. If we walk in the light, the Bible says, As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. We fight for in victory, not for victory. We put on the helmet of salvation, and we walk with the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God that protects us. When you don't know what else to do, tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. If you're in trouble, take the Word of God and read it. Amen. This is a powerful book. This helps us. I tell you right now, I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm glad that we have it in our language. But I think of all those in our world that don't have the Word of God yet. And here we are in 2020, and yet there's over 6,000 languages. Most of them have never even seen a line or verse of the Word of God. Amen? Sad, but it's true. It's very sad. We are to have victory over Satan in our lives by taking him on, and as Jesus did. He took the Word of God when He was tempted by the devil. He said, "It is written." And He told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." We have that kind of power with Jesus. Amen? And that's why I would say in conclusion that we have three powerful enemies, but we have a more powerful Christ. Amen? We have victory over the enemies. We have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are the children of the Holy God. That's something to think about. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. When He died on the cross, He defeated all the enemies that we have. And we walk in victory, not fighting for victory. We don't have to fight Him. We must realize that God is on our side. He's the God of the universe, and He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's the one who said in Jeremiah 3:33, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." When you're in trouble, call on Him. When you're not in trouble, call on Him anyway. Amen? He loves to hear from us. You know, I don't know about you, but I like hearing from our children. My children, if this whole last week, most of them were gone somewhere, and we didn't hardly hear from any of them. And we kind of were bummed out about that. So we called them up and chewed them out. But anyway, no. The truth is, I love hearing from my children, and God loves hearing from His children too. Amen? He wants to hear from us. I get up in the morning, I try to tell Him I love Him. I know He loves me because the Word of God tells me God so loved the world that He gave Him only begotten Son. He loves me so much He was willing to let His Son die for me. I ought to be willing and love Him so much that I'm willing to live for Him. And that ought to be our common, our what we ought to all do. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love You. Help us, Lord, to defeat Satan in our lives. Don't allow him to have the victory. Don't let the world and the flesh and the devil destroy our churches, our families. We're living in some perilous times. Our world is literally a volcano ready to erupt with all kinds of things going on. Between the sicknesses and the enemies that we all have, our world is full of hate and bitterness and anger. A lot of strife. Satan's working overtime to destroy Christianity and churches. I just pray, God, that You'd put a hedge of protection about all believers. I think of our missionaries in foreign countries that are there because of the COVID. Can't leave, but they can't minister either. Their hands are tied as well. And Lord, I pray that You would open these doors, that You would bind Satan and his forces, that You would give victory over these things and help us to walk in Your way and to be able to get the gospel out and to preach the Word of God and with freedom. God, I pray for our upcoming election that You'd give people wisdom in electing those that would vote righteousness in our nation. We know that You're the God of righteousness and You're righteous. And so, God, we pray and plead the blood of Christ on the voting that's coming up. Lord, there's so many wicked people out there, and we know that they've all been defeated, Lord, and You've defeated them. So, God, we just pray and ask that You'd help us to be faithful to do the work that You commanded and called each one of us to do. And we'll give You the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name.